But in this particular form of the Lord, he had another personal reason for appearing as well. Normally, when the Lord descends, it is stated there in the Puranas, the Lord comes to establish religion and to protect devotees. In this material world, there's two classes of people, the demons and the demigods, or the devotees or the non-devotees. And there's always conflict between these two classes of people. One are the atheists, who don't believe in God, Lord Vishnu. These persons, Ravana, Hiranyakashipu. And then you have the devotees, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj. And whenever this conflict is there, then the Lord descends himself. Yudha yudha hi dharmasya. And he comes for this particular purpose, to get rid of the miscreants, Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu. And then he gets the devotee and he puts him on the throne like Maharaj Yudhishthira. Make sure he's established dharma, samstapanataya, that he establishes the principles of religion. So most of the incarnations of the Lord, these are the functions that he performs. He comes, he kills, he destroys, he establishes the devotee. He comes, he destroys, establishes the devotee. Most incarnations. However, in this very, very unique form, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had his own personal agenda. He had his own personal reason to come. Sometimes when the Lord comes, he comes because there's scheduled incarnations, the dashavatars, there's particular reasons for the Lord to come. But when Lord Chaitanya came, he came out of his own sweet will. And he had some purposes to fulfill. And this form of the Lord, although we take it for granted, we're born in the Sankirtan movement, we're aware of it, this form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a very, very rare form. So we are very, very fortunate to be born in this particular yuga, because it's explained that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only appears once in the day of Brahma. So I'm sure most of you know how long the day of Lord Brahma is. There's at least 1,000 Kali Yugas, isn't it? So in 1,000 Kali Yuga, Divya Yuga. So in that particular yuga, the Lord appears, and we are only 500 years away from that particular descent. So we know the famous story of Advaita Acharya seeing the plight of the conditioned souls, seeing the suffering condition, materialistic persons. And then on the banks of the Ganges, he was offering Ganga Jal and Tulsi. And then he was shouting. But interestingly enough, as I was making little preparations for the class, I was studying that actually there's also another particular pastime that invoked the Lord to come, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That there was another particular reason that the Lord also came. Now, the first thing we have to understand, the confidential reasons for the Lord to appear, is that we know, all devotees, we have been here for a little while, we know that he came to taste the mellows of Srimati Radharani. Now, sometimes people might speculate or misunderstand, how is it possible that God, who is absolute, that who knows everything, can't seem to quite understand how Srimati Radharani feels, how Srimati Radharani's rasa or bhava is, because that is the confidential reason, at least one of them, why he appeared. And it's explained that the Lord, he allows himself to be covered by yoga in order to enact this wonderful pastime. Because if you think about it, the Lord is majestic, all-powerful, and it gets pretty boring when you're kind of out there in almighty position. So he allows himself, or he allows a certain arrangement so that he can enact some leela. Sometimes parents, you know, when you have young children, although you're the father, a parent, sometimes with your children, you'll play with them. You let your children beat you up, or you play a certain role. And then, although you are the person who is a father, but you enter into that particular pastime with your children because you want a rasa. You want a taste, different relationship with your children. So in the same way, Lord Chaitanya or Lord Krishna wanted to have these different exchanges with the devotees. He wanted to experience these different rasas. So Krishna's name is known as Rasa Raj. He is a great taster of the mellows. He is a great enjoyer of the different rasas. And Srimati Radharani possesses the highest rasa that anybody can possibly perceive or have. And that is Bhava, Radha Bhava. It's the most incredible feeling. And in that feeling that Srimati Radharani has, that is what Lord Chaitanya wants to taste. That is what Lord Chaitanya wants to experience. So, when we try to think that he's trying to understand these mellows, it is because he allows himself to be put in that particular position. So this other pastime that is there in the Puranas, that the Lord wanted to appear as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Once Narada Muni, he was traveling and he looked upon the planet Earth and he saw the plight of the conditioned souls. He saw the suffering conditioned living entity. And because Narada Muni is a devotee, devotees have compassion. We were talking about that yesterday. They feel for the suffering of other living entities. When the devotee sees another person suffer, then he also suffers. So he wants to see that the devotee wants to see that nobody suffers. So then, with the idea that he wanted to ask the Lord to come and help the conditioned living entities, because after all, when Lord came as Lord Krishna, only few people knew about this bhakti. Only few people knew about Krishna. Maybe 5, 6. When he spoke the Bhagavad Gita, he didn't speak to everyone in a big, large assembly. Krishna, in fact, even didn't really have any disciples. He only spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. So, in one sense, there wasn't no real proper establishment of religious dharma. So, Narada Muni wanted the Lord to come and establish properly. Because Krishna said, surrender unto me. But how do we surrender unto him? What is the principle of surrendering unto him? So then Narada Muni, he went to Dwarka in the spiritual world to try and beckon the Lord to come. And at the same time as Narada Muni was entering Dwarka, Srimati Rukmini Devi Dasi was inviting the Lord to his palace to care for him, to feed him. So normally in a palatial place, when you're a queen, you don't have to do any of the menial servants, you don't have to do the laundry, you don't have to do the hoovering or cleaning up. You have like, you know, few clicks and loads of maid servants will come. But in the case of Srimati Rukmini, she dismissed the maid servants because she personally wanted to clean the quarters. She personally wanted to make sure everything was first class for the Lord. When the Lord appeared, it is explained that Srimati Rukmini Devi Dasi was completely stunned at seeing the form of the Lord. And she was so captured by the beauty of the Lord that tears automatically flowed from her eyes. And she could not speak to the Lord. She could not give any welcome words. And the Lord was a little bit unsure how Rukmini was feeling like this, because just a little incident before, Krishna was indicating that maybe Rukmini should marry someone else. So maybe Krishna thought, oh my gosh, she's still upset from that. So then the Lord inquired, why are you so upset? Why are you not speaking to me? And again, Srimati Rukmini Devi Dasi, she couldn't speak. Each time she tried to speak, her voice was choked up. And then finally, when she came around, she said, I can't understand you, my Lord. And the Lord said, why? He said, you are the all-knowing personality of Godhead. You know everything. Yet there's this one aspect of you that I can't seem to quite understand. What is that? The Lord inquired. She said that, how is it that you can't understand the rasa, the taste, the mellows of Srimati Radhika? I want to know about this. Immediately when Krishna heard Srimati Radharani's name, his eyes opened, he came completely alert, and then asked, who is this Srimati Radhika you're talking about? Then Rukmini was saying, please, my Lord, don't joke with me. You know exactly who this Srimati Radharani is. I want to be the servant of this particular person. And immediately when Rukmini said this, the Lord, as we know, is non-different from Srimati Radharani, immediately turned himself into Srimati Radharani. And there, Rukmini beheld the unbelievable beauty of Srimati Radharani. Her body was glowing. She had a nice golden complexion. And it is explained that when Srimati Rukmini saw this beautiful form, because remember, she's never seen the form of Radharani. She might have heard about it from different places here, but she's never actually seen this particular form. So this form of Srimati Radharani, Rukmini beheld for the first time. And then at that same time, when the Lord was manifesting this form of Srimati Radharani, the great sage Narada Muni came. And the Lord knows everyone's heart. And then when Narada Muni came, Narada Muni explained the plight of the conditioned souls. And then he also saw what ecstasy Rukmini was experiencing in this wonderful form of Srimati Radharani. And then the Lord turned himself again into his Sham form, the three bending form. And he said to Narada, yes, I will descend and I will come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I will propagate this Sankirtan movement. And to Srimati Rukmini said, I will appear and you will be able to behold this pastime of Mahaprabhu. Now when Lord Chaitanya came, he didn't live particularly very, very long in earthly terms. Anyone knows how long he lived? Apart from the pundit? 48. 48. The first 24 were in Grihastha or married life, or he was in Navadvip. Then he took sannyas. And then for the next 6 years, he traveled all over India, Vrindavan, South India. And it's explained that when he traveled, it was at that particular point that he wanted to instruct these mellows of Srimati Radharani. It was at this particular point that Lord Chaitanya wanted the Goswamis to write about this particular aspect of Krishna consciousness. Now, interestingly enough, although the Lord came to experience this Radha Bhava, very few people know that when he came, actually he also wanted other devotees to also experience this. Because when the Lord comes as the other incarnations, he doesn't give this particular bhava. Balaram can give it, but he doesn't. He leaves it to Krishna. Narsingadev can't give it. Lord Ramachandra certainly can't give it. It's only in this form as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So at Varanasi, for 2 continuous months, he instructed Sanatan Goswami about these mellows of Srimati Radhika. And then after 2 months, he instructed Sanatan Goswami to write about these wonderful teachings. Now, of course, these kind of Prabhupada so much emphasizes that these dealings of Radha and Krishna are not mundane. We have to be very, very pure. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta himself, when he came across different pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which describe the glories of Radha and Krishna, he would turn the pages. So we shouldn't, in an artificial way, learn in a scholastic way. We need to have devotion towards Krishna to able to understand. It is only by that devotion that we can understand the mellows, the inner reason why the Lord came. So they said that there are 3 main reasons why Lord Chaitanya came. Anyone know the first one? Anyone know? To experience Radha's love. Yes. The second? Sweetness, that's right. Because Krishna's also a little bit baffled, you know, because, he's a sweet guy and all that, you know, eats lots of makhan. So he wants to understand what is it about him that Srimati Radharani is attracted. Why is he such a sweet guy? Why is he such a loving person? So he wants to try and understand his own sweetness as well. What is that about? So these are the 3 main reasons. And one other reason is the position of Srimati Radharani. So it's the position of Srimati Radharani to understand his own sweetness and to, anyone listen? To taste the experience of what the mellows Srimati Radharani is experienced. And this was enacted in the last 6 years of his life. It is explained that in the last 6 years of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, he only had 1 companion, and that was Swarup Damodar. More or less, in the last 6 years of his life, he had no connections with any devotees. He hardly spoke to anyone. Some of you might have been to that place in Gambira. Anyone been there? And it's a very, very small, tiny little place. And the Lord was constantly remembering the mellow of Srimati Radhika and Krishna. And in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Lord Chaitanya was always looking for Krishna, Krishna. And it's explained that even though the doors were locked, even though they had guards in the Gambira, still somehow the Lord would escape. And he will run in Jagannath Puri. And anything that remotely reminded him of the son of Raja, immediately he went into Bhava. Isn't it sometimes when you love somebody, when you attach to somebody, when you see something that reminds you of them? It might be their clothes, their shoes, their car. Immediately, those feelings come up. So when Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri, he saw a hill, and he thought that hill was Govardhan Hill. He saw the ocean, and he thought that was Jamuna. And once it's explained that he fell into the river, into the ocean, and there he was lost, and all the devotees were looking for him. They couldn't find him. They were looking and searching and searching, and the devotees were worried. And finally they saw this person coming, and he was like acting rather strange. Hari Hari, Hari Hari, Hari Hari, Hari Hari. So acting very, very strange. And they were wondering, who is this person? So then one devotee spoke to him and said, "My dear sir, why are you behaving like this?" And the fisherman replied, "Hari, Hari, 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 Hari." And then the devotee could understand that maybe he knows where the Lord is. Maybe he's even seen the Lord. So then he asked, "We are looking for somebody. It's a tall person. It's golden form. We're all worried about of his whereabouts. He's lost." And then the fisherman, he explained that he was fishing, and then in his net he saw something. He thought at first it caught like a big catch, but then as he was pulling his net, he saw this form of the Lord. And then he was trying to help the Lord on the boat. And as soon as he touched the Lord, immediately he changed. And whatever the Lord was experiencing, this fisherman was also experiencing. And he just kept on chanting, "Hari, Hari." So finally they found the Lord. And they took him back to the Gambira. So in this way, the last 6 years, he was constantly feeling this pangs of separation. So it's quite interesting that Krishna has three sets of women folk that kind of follow him. Anyone know who they are? Three sets of ladies that are attracted towards Krishna. Yeah? The gopis, that's the highest. The queens. That's right. The goddess of fortune, who are always serving Mahavishnu, Narayan, and the other, the queens, and the other are the gopis. Now, the gopis, rasa, is generally known as parakiya or vipralamba. Now, in the material sense, this parakiya is immoral. It's wrong. However, it is probably one of the most powerful forces on the planet. This attraction to another person who is forbidden, this attraction to another person who is married. So this particular force, this particular rasa, the parakiya rasa, that the paramour, where the gopis are already kind of married, but they are attracted not to their husbands, but towards Krishna. And that feeling is one of the most incredible, powerful feeling. And sometimes it's possibly one of the reasons why there's so many different reasons people run off with other people's wives and husbands, because when they get into these particular situations, it is a force to be beckoned with. It's a most incredible feeling. And it is said that when the wife is thinking about the paramour, she does her job very, very nicely. Prabhupada explains this. And the husband is thinking, "Oh, the wife is doing very nice. She's cooking very nicely, doing the laundry." But all the time, what is she thinking of? When is the next chance she's going to meet her lover? So it is said that the gopis were in that same position, that although they were married, although they were responsible, they were doing their duties and everything, when Krishna played the flute at the dead of the night, then whatever they were doing, immediately they would drop. If they're in the middle of serving their husband, they would split. If they're in the middle of cooking, they would go. The gopis. And it's explained, I think it's Rupa Goswami, he writes this one verse that actually, if you're attracted to material life, if you want to live very, very nicely, then I ask you, do not listen to the flute which is played by Krishna. Do not see the son of Nanda Maharaj who is on the banks of River Jamuna. Because as soon as you see him, as soon as you hear his flute, then you will lose all interest in everything else. So this particular attraction that the gopis had for Krishna, that is the reason why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended, to feel this particular ecstatic love. And then also for us to understand, for us to also experience to a certain degree, because ultimately, Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki. Ultimately, whether we come to that highest platform, Madhurya Rasa, whether it's our constitutional position or not, that is the highest love of Godhead. And if we perform our service, if we chant our rounds, then we will be able to understand these mellows. And there's one particular form, sometimes when you're in India, and there's a form of Lord Gauranga, and he is like, he's got his hand. Normally he gives blessings like this, but this particular form, there's very, very few forms, he has his hand like this. And this particular mudra, they have different mudras, conch, kamadenu, they have certain different meanings. So this particular mudra that the Lord is showing in his deity form is called Nija Bhajan Mudra, which means that he wants to instruct the mellows of devotional service to the devotees. And this is done through the teachings of Goswamis. So in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when we read in there, there's the different mellows over there. There's the Ujjvalamani, is it? Nilamani. Of course, that's such an elevated book. Bhaktisiddhanta told his disciples that we shouldn't really read that book because it's got the most intimate, confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And if we're not on a pure platform, we'll just see them in a mundane way. Because the pastimes of a normal boy and a girl, they're considered like an iron. And the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are considered like gold. So when the gopis attracted towards Krishna, it has nothing to do with any kind of sexual attraction. It is to do with a certain bhava or the taste. Whereas when a man and a woman are attracted, they have a sexual or physical attraction. But not in the case of the gopis. They have a higher, and we cannot experience that, not in the material world, not in our conditional state of being. So these are the reasons why the Lord appeared, to understand the elevated position of Srimati Radharani, to taste his own sweetness, and to taste that bhava, that feeling that Srimati Radharani has towards Krishna. So what lessons can we learn from this particular descent of the Lord? It's all very, very high understanding. So what we can take back is to try and learn how we can deal with one another. Because Srimati Radharani is a devotee and she's very, very attracted towards Krishna. So we should also be in that mood to try and see if another devotee is also very, very close towards Krishna, if he's very, very attached to Krishna, if he's always constantly serving Krishna. So that is the lesson that we can learn, that just as Srimati Radharani is very attracted towards Krishna, just as Srimati Radharani has great love for Krishna, this many wonderful devotees have an attraction towards Krishna, towards serving. So then we can try and get the association of those devotees also, that we can learn from them how we can also become attracted towards Krishna. We can also learn how we can deal with one another and serve towards Krishna. And the other wonderful quality of Srimati Radharani is that although she is very, very dear to Krishna, although she is the topmost of all the gopis, her mood is to let other gopis serve Krishna. Her mood is to let others serve Madhava. So that is another lesson that we can learn. Sometimes we want to be the center of attraction. Sometimes we want to be there in the action. But actually, if we take the mood of Srimati Radharani, we should let other devotees be there. So, in a few days' time, we'll be celebrating the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. So in the next few days, in this way, we can pray, we can meditate, so we can imbibe some of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It's a very, very unique opportunity that we can make use of it. Although we, in our day-to-day life, we just go on in our life, we plod on in our life, we have so many different problems, so many different activities. You know, sometimes even being in a devotee, sometimes we just take things for granted, day in and day out. Yes, we have to go mechanically to class. Yes, we have to go in kirtan. But sometimes we have to go a little bit deeper in your own personal quest in spiritual life. Each year, each gopanim that comes by, are we getting closer to Lord Chaitanya? Are we understanding the teachings of Lord Chaitanya? Are we still stagnant or in the same position? Are we actually making any advancement? Because life is very, very delicate. It's a situation that no one knows what tomorrow will bring. It's a situation that we have no control over. So we have to try and make the best use of our human form of life. As Bhakti Chiru Maharaj was explaining very, very nicely yesterday, that when we get this form, if we don't utilize this, then as Lord Chaitanya said in the prayers by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that you have obtained this very, very rare human form of life. And if you don't serve the darling of Mother Yasoda, then great misery awaits you at the time of death. Nobody likes misery, nobody likes suffering, but these things will be forced upon us if we don't learn how to surrender, if we don't learn how to make advancement, if we don't learn how to get closer towards Krishna. We spend so much of our time in doing so many other things. But if we take some time and pray to the Lord to help us understand and appreciate and ultimately, if possible, be in the pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and those devotees who are in this particular Krishna consciousness, they have a very, very unique feature that they can simultaneously be in the spiritual world with the pastimes of Krishna and also in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Because this form of Lord Chaitanya is also there in the spiritual world. It's not only here in the material world or the Bhauma Leela. These pastimes are also taking place in the spiritual world. And if we pray to Lord Nityananda, then he is the person that can allow us to enter into these pastimes. He is the person who has the key to allow us to enter into the Radha Krishna Bhava. He is the person who can allow us to be in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he knows, he is completely aware of these two particular pastimes. He's completely there. And if the devotee prays with the right mind, with the right understanding to Lord Nityananda, then we will be able to understand these pastimes. We'll be able to enter into the pastimes of Gaur Nittai. And sometimes you might think it's a bit of a tall order. Yes, yes. But once, one devotee was speaking with Srila Prabhupada, and he was explaining how book distribution is quite an austere service. It's very, very hard. But Prabhupada said that if you sincerely carry on this service, one day when you turn around, you'll see Lord Chaitanya. Now you might think, well, this doesn't seem it's like possible. But if you don't have that faith, that shraddha, then obviously it's not going to happen. Because everything begins by faith. Unless you have that faith, then it won't happen. Narottam Das Thakur, when he was on the planet, he took his birth just slightly after Mahaprabhu had more or less passed or winded up his pastime. And constantly he was traveling from one place to another trying to look for the Lord. And wherever he went, he missed the Lord. And finally when he arrived in Vrindavan, the news was given to him that Lord had left. And he organized a festival with all the devotees. And it's explained that when Narottam Das Thakur had a kirtan with all the different Vaishnavas, the kirtan reached such a high pitch of love of Godhead that even though Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were not present on the planet, they actually appeared in the kirtan. To everyone's surprise, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda appeared. So sometimes when we are chanting at the beginning, it's quite austere. But then when we go through it and we stay and we transcend our bodily needs, our mind, our need to be somewhere else, and we allow ourselves to enter, we might not feel or see, might not see the Lord, but you can feel that taste of the Sankirtan movement. And it is through this chanting of the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, that we can understand this actual mellows. It is through this sincerely praying and chanting that we can actually understand the mood of Lord Chaitanya. Because that chanting is our gateway. This holy name is our way towards Krishna. It is the way we can obtain the mercy of the Lord. So the more we chant, the more we become purified. I mean, one devotee was telling me something really interesting, and he was saying that the only reason, because there's some different people, they chant different sets of rounds. So this person was telling me that they only chant four rounds because this Hare Krishna mantra, we have to make sure we don't commit any offenses. So we chant four rounds, so we make sure we don't commit any offenses. But that's not the real mood. The real mood is that Kirtaniya Sada Hari. We should be always chanting constantly. And we take shelter of the holy name, then surely we can enter into the spiritual world. And yesterday, Bhakti Charu Maharaj said very, very nicely that we're all having kirtans on behalf of Harivamsa Prabhu. And he explained very, very nicely, I don't know if you were there or not, that when he heard about Harivamsa Prabhu passing away, then he was wondering what kind of situation Prabhuji is going to be going to. And then he was not sure. So then inside him, he heard a certain kind of a voice or something that said, actually, he's gone to the spiritual world. Now then he felt a little bit kind of doubtful. He said, what, Harivamsa Prabhu going to the spiritual world? Because, of course, going to the spiritual world also, you have to be very pure, very elevated. Then again, he wasn't sure whether this was kind of, you know, I don't know, possible or what. Then while he was there meditating and thinking, praying for his disciple, then he was hearing another voice. He said that if Prabhuji didn't go home with the amount of service he did, the amount of love he had for the devotees, then what is the point in this Krishna consciousness? Basically, in a nutshell, he said, Prabhuji is the testimony that Krishna consciousness works if we give it our life. So, if an ordinary jiva can somehow or another elevate himself through Vaidhi Bhakti up to the mellows of going back to Godhead, then we all have a chance. So we should not doubt this. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.